All right, so looks like we're wrestling with this mind of the spirit idea.
Yeah.
We're going to be diving into some excerpts from a lecture
okay.
by Dr. Craig Keener, pretty sharp biblical scholar, on Romans 8.
Right.
And have you ever felt like faith and intellect are kind of at odds?
Oh, yeah.
Like, should you just feel things spiritually, or do you actually have to think about your faith?
That tension is something that Keener really gets into.
Yeah.
What's so fascinating is how he actually uses Romans 7 as a starting point.
Okay.
And he says that chapter kind of paints a picture of what it's like trying to be righteous under the law,
mm-hmm.
like on our own steam. But that's not the ideal for believers.
Right.
It's actually what life without faith in the Spirit looks like.
It's almost like a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
Like, don't do it this way.
Exactly.
And then Romans 8 flips the script, brings in the mind of the Spirit.
Yeah.
But it's not like there are literally two minds battling it out inside of us.
Exactly. It's more about like two types of people. Those relying on themselves, which Paul calls the flesh,
mm-hmm.
versus those who are open to God's influence. The Spirit.
You know, I can relate to that struggle.
Yeah.
Keener actually tells this story.
I love this story.
About how he used to resist the whole idea of needing to understand Scripture.
Oh, yeah.
He thought he should just wait for some mystical revelation.
Oh, I remember that part.
Yeah.
It's almost like he thought thinking too hard got in the way of the spiritual stuff.
Right.
But then God sort of smacked him upside the head.
Yeah.
With a bunch of verses about the importance of actually using your brain.
Oh, wow.
Which is ironic, considering that he's now this renowned scholar.
Yeah, talk about a wake-up call.
I know.
It makes you think how much of our, like, anxiety,
totally.
Like, what Keener experienced,
yes.
comes from trying to control things that are ultimately out of our hands.
It's a great question.
Yeah.
And that actually leads us to what Keener says is at the heart of the matter.
Okay.
The Spirit's role in shaping our thinking. The Greek word for mind, phronema.
Phronema.
Can mean way of thinking, or even your whole disposition.
Hmm.
So it's not just about individual thoughts. It's about God's Spirit influencing how we view the world.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
So I'm hearing God influencing our minds, and I'm thinking, mm-hmm. wait a minute.
Yeah.
Does that mean I'm not really in control of my own thoughts?
That's where I think understanding this concept of ideal types is helpful.
Okay.
Keener points out that Paul often uses these categories that represent extremes,
mm.
but they're not meant to be rigidly applied to like every individual.
Okay.
You know, it's like saying you're either a morning person or a night owl.
Right.
But many of us fall somewhere in between.
You know what? That makes a lot of sense. It's
yeah.
like sometimes these theological concepts
cool.
feel like they're forcing you into this either box.
Yes.
But this is more nuanced.
Right. It's about recognizing that fundamental difference in reliance.
Okay.
People of the flesh depend on themselves.
So,
but people of the Spirit are learning to depend on God.
Yeah.
And none of us are perfect at it.
Right.
We're all on a journey.
So it's not about achieving some impossible standard of perfection.
Right.
But about partnering with God in this process of transformation.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's encouraging.
And that's actually a good segue into another major theme. Keener unpacks.
Okay.
Peace as a mark of the Spirit's mind.
Ah, yes. Romans 8.6 says the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace.
And Keener ties this back to Isaiah 26.3.
Okay.
That the mind that trusts in the Lord will have peace.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't just leave it there. He gets really personal.
Yeah.
And shares about his own struggles with panic attacks.
He does.
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect a scholar to be so open about something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
But he talks about how trying to control his anxiety only made it worse.
Mm.
And true peace came when he finally, like, surrendered to God.
That's a powerful image.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me think how much of what we call peace
totally.
Is just the absence of problems.
Yeah.
Versus that deep sense of trust that Keener's talking about.
Exactly. And Keener brings in Philippians 4:6-7 for like further support.
Okay.
Reminding us not to worry, but to pray and focus on good things.
Mm-hmm.
And then God's peace will guard our minds and hearts.
So it's like actively choosing peace.
Yes.
Instead of just waiting for it to happen.
Yes.
But to back up a bit.
Yeah.
Keener uses a lot of scripture to support these points about the mind of the Spirit.
He does.
What are some of the key verses that he highlights?
Well, he goes to 1 Corinthians 2.
Okay.
Where Paul talks about the Spirit revealing God's wisdom.
Uh-huh.
Giving us a taste of eternal things.
Okay.
He also quotes Isaiah 40:13, which directly links the Spirit of the Lord with the mind of the Lord.
So it's not just some vague spiritual feeling.
No.
But about God actually sharing his thoughts with us?
Yes.
That's mind-blowing.
It is.
But how does that even work?
Yeah.
Can we just download God's thoughts into our brains?
That's where it gets really interesting.
Keener dives into 1 Corinthians 2.10.15,
mm-hmm.
where Paul emphasizes that only God's Spirit truly knows God's heart and can reveal it to us.
Okay.
He even compares it to how worldly evaluation criteria,
right,
you know, things like charisma or debating skills,
okay,
just don't apply when it comes to spiritual truth.
So you need a different kind of competence to grasp spiritual truth.
Exactly. It's not about being like the smartest person in the room.
Okay.
But about being open to the Spirit's work in your heart and mind.
Mm, that's good.
Which brings us to another fascinating point Keener makes.
Okay. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Okay. Well, remember how Keener talked about the Spirit's role in prophecy,
mm-hmm.
in Jewish thought?
Yeah.
He says there's a connection to how the Spirit testifies to us that we are God's children.
Wait. So you're saying it's like having a personal prophet living inside us?
Kind of.
Yeah.
It's like that deep down part of you that just knows you're loved by God.
Right.
Even when you mess up.
Yeah.
Keener says that's the Spirit at work confirming our identity.
Now, that's something I need to hear on a bad day.
Right.
So we've covered life under the law versus life in the Spirit.
Yes.
How the Spirit shapes our thinking,
mm-hmm.
and how that connects to peace and our identity as God's children.
Yes.
What else does Keener unpack in this lecture?
Well, he goes on to connect this whole sonship thing,
okay.
to the idea of inheriting God's promises, both now and in eternity.
Okay.
But that's a conversation for part two of our deep dive.
All right. You've definitely piqued my curiosity.
Good.
Until next time, keep those brains engaged, folks.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so we're back.
Yes.
And ready to dive deeper into this idea of the mind of the Spirit.
Absolutely.
Last time, we talked about how the Spirit shapes our thinking.
Right.
And confirms our identity as God's children.
Yes.
Now I'm really curious to hear what Keener says about this whole inheritance thing.
Okay.
What exactly are we inheriting?
That's a great question, and it's where things get really exciting.
Okay.
Keener doesn't just talk about inheriting stuff.
Right.
Like some cosmic lottery.
Okay.
He connects it to Romans 8.14.
Mm-hmm.
Again, focusing on the phrase, led by the Spirit.
Okay.
He ties it back to those powerful images in Exodus,
mm-hmm.
where God led the Israelites through the wilderness.
I'm starting to see a theme here.
Yes.
It's like that same guidance God offered Israel, he now offers to us through the Spirit.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that we're not wandering aimlessly.
Okay.
We have a guide.
Right.
But Keener is also quick to point out,
okay.
that being led by the Spirit doesn't mean we just sit back and wait for instructions to fall from the sky.
So it's not just about making good moral choices.
Right.
There's more to it.
Right. Remember that story Keener told about being led to share the gospel with Lorena?
Oh, yeah.
That's a pretty dramatic example of the Spirit at work.
It is.
But Keener's point is that the Spirit can lead us in all sorts of ways.
Right.
Sometimes in very specific directions.
Honestly, sometimes I wish God would just be that obvious with me. Just give me a flashing neon sign with an arrow pointing to exactly what I should be doing.
I think we all wish for that from time to time.
Yeah.
But Keener's point is that we need to cultivate a sensitivity to the Spirit's voice.
Okay.
Even when it's not so loud.
Right.
It's about tuning in to those subtle promptings,
mm.
those nudges that might lead us to step out of our comfort zones,
okay.
or act in unexpected ways.
So we're talking about actively seeking God's guidance.
Yes.
And then responding to it.
Exactly.
Okay.
But here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
Keener ties this whole idea of being led by the Spirit to the language of sonship that Paul uses in Romans 8.
Okay.
He explains that this echoes back to the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
where Israel is called God's son, particularly in Exodus and Deuteronomy.
I'm with you so far. God chose Israel as his special people.
Right.
But how does that translate to us today as New Testament believers?
Well, Keener argues that this concept of sonship is further developed in the New Testament, particularly through Jesus, who is the ultimate son of God.
Right.
And it's through Jesus that we receive the right to become children of God ourselves.
Okay, that makes sense. But what does it really mean to be a child of God?
Yeah.
Is it just a title we get to wear?
It's so much more than that.
Okay.
Keener highlights how Jesus' relationship with his father was characterized by deep intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of relationship we're invited into as God's children.
Okay.
It's not just about obeying rules.
Right.
It's about experiencing that personal, loving connection with God.
And that's where that beautiful Aramaic word Abba comes in, right?
Exactly.
Paul uses it in Romans 8 when he talks about the Spirit enabling us to cry out, Abba, Father.
Yes, it's not just Father. It's a term of endearment,
right?
Like saying Daddy or Papa.
Yeah.
It conveys that closeness, that deep affection.
Right.
And Keener points out that for some people, the word Father can be loaded based on their earthly experiences.
You know, that actually resonates with me. My relationship with my dad wasn't great.
Oh.
So I kind of struggle with that whole Abba thing.
Yeah.
Does Keener address that?
He does. He says that God's fatherhood is completely different from any human fatherhood we've ever experienced.
Okay.
It's perfect and pure, untainted by any human failings.
Right.
And it's the Spirit who helps us experience that fatherly love in a way that can be healing and transformative.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I've always felt drawn to the idea of God as a loving parent.
Yeah.
Even though I have baggage from my own childhood.
It's amazing how God can meet us in our brokenness.
Yeah.
And offer something so much better.
So we've talked about being led by the Spirit.
Yes.
And experiencing God's fatherly love.
Yes.
What else does Keener say about this whole inheritance thing? I mean, what are we actually inheriting?
Well, he goes on to talk about how as God's children, we have a glorious inheritance waiting for us.
Okay.
He dives into Romans 8.17, where Paul says that we are heirs and co-heirs with Christ.
Yeah. Okay, I'm all ears.
Keener explains that this echoes the Exodus theme of inheriting the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
But now it points to something even greater, the world to come.
Wow.
It's not just about inheriting physical possessions.
Okay.
It's about inheriting eternal life, being part of God's kingdom forever.
That's what I'm talking about. Sign me up for that inheritance.
But Keener doesn't just want us to get caught up in the excitement of the future.
Right.
He reminds us that the Spirit plays a crucial role in assuring us of this inheritance now.
Okay.
He points to 2 Corinthians 1.22 and 5.5,
mm-hmm.
where the steward is described as a down payment, a guarantee of what's to come.
So it's like we're getting a taste of heaven here on earth.
Exactly.
Ooh, I bet.
And that taste should fuel our hope and anticipation,
right,
even when things get tough. Which brings us to another important point Keener makes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Here comes the part nobody wants to talk about.
I know, right? But Keener doesn't shy away from it.
Good.
He dives headfirst into Romans 8.17-18, which talks about suffering with Christ in order to be glorified with him.
Okay.
And he describes glory as being in God's presence.
Right.
Referencing those intense moments in the Old Testament when God's glory was revealed.
Like how Moses' face glowed after encountering God on Mount Sinai.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
It was this overwhelming, awe-inspiring presence.
Right.
And the key point Keener makes is that the glory far outweighs the suffering.
Hmm.
He cites 2 Corinthians 4.
Okay.
Where Paul says, our present afflictions are preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison.
So it's not that suffering is good in itself.
Right.
But it's worth it in light of the glory that awaits us.
Precisely. It's about keeping our eyes on the prize even when we're going through difficult times.
Right.
But even when things are really hard, we're not alone.
Yeah.
Keener points to those powerful images of groaning that Paul uses in Romans 8.22, 23, and 26.
You mean the groaning of creation, our groaning for transformed bodies?
Yes.
And the Spirit's groaning in intercession for us?
Yes. He points out that it's this threefold groaning.
Okay.
A collective longing for the day when God will set everything right.
Yeah.
And he connects it back to the Exodus narrative.
Right.
Where God's people cried out for deliverance from slavery in Egypt.
So it's like we're all in this together.
Yeah.
Longing for that ultimate liberation, that final redemption.
Exactly.
Okay.
And here's a fascinating detail Keener adds.
Okay.
While some scholars interpret the Spirit's groaning as referring to speaking in tongues, he believes it's something else.
Oh.
But of the same order.
Wait, what does he mean by that?
Yeah.
If it's not tongues, what is it?
He doesn't specify.
Okay.
But he suggests it's about the Spirit working within us in prayer.
Okay.
Even when we don't have the words to express what we're feeling.
So it's like those times when we're so overwhelmed that all we can do is sigh or groan.
Yes.
And the Spirit takes those inarticulate sounds and turns them into prayers.
Precisely.
Wow. That's powerful.
It's a beautiful picture of the Spirit's intercession.
Right.
Working behind the scenes to align our hearts with God's will.
Yeah.
Even when we don't know how to pray.
This is so encouraging, but Keener doesn't just leave us with these vague promises, does he?
No, he doesn't.
He talks about how we can actually live out this whole mind of the Spirit thing in our everyday lives.
Yeah.
What does he say about that?
Well, that's where we'll pick up in part 3 of our deep dive.
Okay, stay tuned. Okay, so we're back for the final part of our deep dive into the mind of the spirit.
Yeah.
We've covered a lot of ground.
We have.
From how the spirit guides our thinking to the incredible inheritance that awaits us as God's children.
It's pretty amazing stuff.
But I'm really eager to hear what Keener has to say about how we actually put all of this into practice.
Okay, yeah.
It's one thing to talk about these concepts, but how do we actually live them out?
You're hitting on a really important point.
Yeah.
Keener doesn't just want to leave us with like a bunch of head knowledge.
Yep.
He wants to see this understanding of the spirit actually transform our lives.
Okay.
And he starts by reminding us that sonship isn't just a title we wear.
Right.
It's a dynamic relationship that changes how we live.
So it's less about what we know and more about how we relate to God.
Exactly.
Okay.
And a big part of that relationship is learning to follow the Spirit's lead.
Mm.
Keener goes back to Romans 8.14 and emphasizes that being led by the Spirit is about more than just making good moral choices.
Okay.
It's about surrendering to God's guidance in all areas of our lives.
I can see how that ties back to the Exodus imagery we talked about earlier.
Right.
God led the Israelites through the wilderness.
Yeah.
Now he wants to lead us through the complexities of our own lives.
Yeah, it's a great connection.
Yeah.
And just like God provided for the Israelites,
right.
He promises to provide for us.
Oh, right.
He'll give us wisdom, strength, and direction when we need it most.
Mm.
But here's the catch.
What's that?
We have to be willing to follow.
That reminds me of a time I felt like God was nudging me to do something completely outside my comfort zone.
Oh, yeah.
I was terrified, but I took the leap of faith.
Good for you.
And it turned out to be one of the most rewarding experiences of my life.
That's a perfect example of what Keener's talking about.
Yeah.
It's about tuning in to those promptings.
Right.
Even when they seem scary or inconvenient.
Yeah.
Sometimes the Spirit leads us in ways we never could have predicted.
It's true.
But those detours often lead to the most incredible destinations.
I'm also starting to realize that being led by the Spirit isn't always about big dramatic moments like that. Oh. Sometimes it's about those small everyday choices we make.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
It's about choosing to listen to that still small voice instead of giving in to our impulses.
Yeah.
It's about asking for God's guidance when we're facing a decision, big or small.
Right.
It's about surrendering our plans and trusting his timing.
So it's about cultivating that ongoing conversation with God. That constant awareness of his presence.
Exactly.
Right.
It's like we're walking hand in hand with the Spirit, allowing him to guide our steps and shape our decisions.
Right.
And when we stumble, as we inevitably will, he's there to pick us up and help us get back on track.
That's so encouraging.
It is.
It makes this whole Christian life seem less daunting, knowing we have such a powerful and loving guide.
Absolutely. But Keener also reminds us that being a child of God comes with responsibilities.
Okay.
We're not just like passive recipients of God's grace.
Right.
We're called to actively participate in his work in the world.
So it's not all about sitting around and waiting for heaven.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. In fact, Keener connects this idea of sonship to our inheritance.
Oh, okay.
Reminding us that we're heirs and co-heirs with Christ.
Right.
And that inheritance isn't just about some future reward.
Okay.
It's about experiencing the reality of God's kingdom here and now.
So it's like we're getting a preview of heaven on earth.
Exactly.
Okay.
Cool. But Keener is quick to acknowledge that we live in a world that's still broken and full of suffering.
Right.
In fact, he spends a significant portion of his lecture wrestling with the tension between our present reality and the future glory that awaits us.
He's not afraid to tackle the tough questions, is he?
Nope. He dives right into Romans 8:17-18,
okay,
which talks about suffering with Christ in order to be glorified with him.
Okay.
And he reminds us that while we may experience pain and hardship in this life,
right,
the glory that awaits us is far greater than anything we can imagine.
It's like he's saying, don't lose heart. The best is yet to come.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And he emphasizes that our suffering isn't pointless.
Okay.
It actually has a purpose.
Good.
It shapes our character, strengthens our faith.
Right.
And prepares us for the unimaginable glory that awaits us in God's presence.
So it's about shifting our perspective,
yeah,
focusing on the bigger picture.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's about remembering that our present struggles are temporary, but the joy and peace we find in Christ are eternal.
Yeah.
And when we fix our eyes on that eternal horizon, it gives us hope and strength to persevere through the toughest storms.
That's so powerful.
It is.
It's like choosing to believe in the dawn, even when we're surrounded by darkness.
And here's another incredible image Keener uses to encourage us in the midst of suffering.
Okay.
He talks about how creation itself is groaning.
Yeah.
Longing for the day when God will make all things new.
Mm-hmm.
We groan as we await the transformation of our bodies.
Right.
And even the spirit groans as he intercedes for us.
It's like this cosmic symphony of longing, a collective yearning for the fulfillment of God's promises.
It's a beautiful picture of solidarity.
It is.
We're not alone in our struggles.
Right.
We're united with creation itself.
Yeah.
And even the spirit is groaning alongside us.
So even when we don't have the words to express our pain or frustration, the spirit takes those groans and turns them into prayers. Wow, that's an amazing picture of grace.
It is.
And it reminds us that even in the darkest moments, God is at work.
Yes.
Bringing beauty out of ashes and hope out of despair.
That's so good.
This has been an incredible journey.
It has.
We've explored so much about the mind of the Spirit.
We have.
From how he guides our thinking to the incredible inheritance that awaits us as God's children.
Yes.
But I keep coming back to this question.
Okay.
How do we actually put all of this into practice?
Yeah.
What does it look like to live out this concept of the mind of the Spirit in our everyday lives?
That's a question each of us has to wrestle with.
Right.
But I think Keener would encourage us to start by cultivating a deep sensitivity to the Spirit's voice.
Mm-hmm.
We can do that by spending time in prayer.
Right.
Meditating on Scripture.
Okay.
And simply paying attention to those subtle promptings in our hearts.
And it's not just about receiving guidance.
Right.
But also about responding to it, taking those leaps of faith, even when we're scared.
Absolutely. It's about actively participating in the work God is doing in and through us.
Right.
It's about embracing our identity as God's children.
Mm-hmm.
Living out that reality in every aspect of our lives.
And even when we face hardship and suffering, it's about choosing to believe in God's promises.
Yes.
Trusting that he's working all things together for our good.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's about keeping our eyes fixed on that eternal horizon.
Right.
Knowing that the best is yet to come.
This has been such an insightful and encouraging conversation.
It has been.
I feel like I have a much deeper understanding of what it means to have the mind of the Spirit.
Me too. And I think Keener would be thrilled to know.
Yeah.
That his teaching is still impacting lives today.
Well, on that note, I think it's time to wrap up this deep dive. But before we go, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought.
Okay.
As you go about your day today, take a moment to reflect on what you've learned about the mind of the Spirit.
Right.
Ask God to help you apply these truths to your life, to guide your steps, and to fill you with his peace and joy.
That's a great way to end.
Yeah.
Remember, the journey of faith is an ongoing adventure.
It's true.
And with the Spirit as our guide, we can face any challenge with confidence and hope.
Thanks for joining us on this incredible deep dive.
Yes, thank you.
Until next time, keep exploring.
Yeah.
Keep learning and keep seeking the mind of the Spirit.
Absolutely.